Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio and you want to keep up with everything happening here at the station, just download the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream live anywhere, or you can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. Follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Happy opening day for 99% of the league.
Nice job, baseball. We'll get into that in just a moment. My company, as he is each and every Thursday, with, of course, tournament pending when we have to move around schedules, he writes about college football, college basketball for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Hey, Jeffrey. Good day. We got college basketball is back. I don't count the NIT, so... Nor do I count the college basketball crown, nor do I count the CBI. So tonight is when college basketball is back.
I did not realize, or maybe I did realize, how long has the NIT, whatever, Final Four, the NIT Final Four not been in New York?
That's only a couple of years now. I think this is the second or third year they've done it not at Madison Square Garden.
Because I definitely did not realize that that's not at MSG, which I believe that's why my boy AK bowed out in overtime last night. There's not even a trip to New York involved. He's not all that interested. Plus, you know, you got to go network at the Final Four next week anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, though, that I was thinking about, and let's tell everybody quickly what we got coming up on the program. Eric is going to join us. Grizzlies tonight, 6:30 for pregame, taking on the Thunder, hooray, at 7 p.m., we'll get into the list. Jason Smith's going to join us during hour number two. We'll tell your story. We'll get out of here. But I was thinking about this. So I believe it was, George, how long ago was that OKC home game?
It's been about a month now.
Okay, so I remember.
Early February, if I remember correctly.
I remember vividly, Cobb. My family, we all went to the Rendezvous and that night. And Aaliyah and I went out like downtown like a couple hours early because my daughter was with my parents. Like we met up at dinner and then we got our daughter back. And like I was like kind of scrolling my phone, looking at like the old ticketing apps. You know, hashtag no free ads, but I looked at multiple ticketing apps and like I'm thinking like, man, this kind of feels like a big game. Everybody was back, like healthy, everybody was playing. It's like felt like it was going to be like a real test. And I'm kind of like nudging her, like, you know, mom and dad are happy to keep Josephine for the night. Like, that's like the easiest halfback toss of all time is asking my parents if they want to hang out with my granddaughter. Like, as long as they're in town, they want her. So, like, I'm like, you know, like, it's going to be fun. And, like, I'm really pushing because, like, it's a big game. I'm just like, I kind of want to go. Can't get any momentum. Nothing. I contrast that with how I feel right now about the Grizzlies going to play the Thunder. And I know, I get it. It's the difference between a home game and a road game. There's no job. Like, whatever. Cop, I don't even want to watch this game. Like, I have no... Like, I just want it to be something that happens. And I'll move on.
Well, thankfully, you don't have to. You have enough distractions tonight.
If you're going to get smoked by the Thunder, tonight is the perfect night.
It's the perfect night. You can fully distract yourself with something else. And then just hopefully wake up when the Lakers are in town and have a new lease on life. Because, I mean, this stretch is wild for the Grizzlies. You're at OKC. You're home against the Lakers. You're home against the Celtics. Home against the Warriors. Then you go to Miami, to Detroit, which is suddenly made a turnaround under J.B. Bickerstaff. Shout out
our guy.
Wow. Like, this is...
Anytime J.B. has success, I just go, good. I like JB. Like, I'm not saying like what I think the way they fired him was chicken ass, but like, I'm not saying like, okay, JB should still be the coach, but like, I root for him.
I do too. It's like you and Andy Kennedy. That's how I am with
JB. Yeah, AK should have been fired at the end at Ole Miss. I still root for him.
Right.
I have no problem with that. So like, I was thinking about just how different tonight is. And then, I mean, God bless you. If you are one of the Eternal Sunshine people and you're like, yeah, no, it could happen. It's like, that's great. If like, I'm going to have it on TV3. Like, let's be clear. With all due respect to my guys, Pete Brevin, this is a no-sound night. Like, I can't. It's just so demoralizing watching them going up against the Thunder, and you realize every single person on the Thunder that can defend, every single person on the Thunder can score. I just, like, I don't need to get invested. And, like, I just feel like it's so different from how I felt, like, 6 weeks ago.
Unless, Jeffrey, the Santi Aldama, Desmond Bane timeout
did that
exchange,
turn a corner?
Was that the kick in the butt that the Grizzlies needed, and now they're going to go out and prove it with a big win over the Thunder? I'd be surprised, but fun narrative, perhaps.
I mean, I will say this, because I said it yesterday, but I like this kind of shows where the Grizzlies are. I finally saw the video because I mentioned it to you. Like, I had no idea. I watched the whole game with sound, everything. I had no idea this happened. I was unaware until we didn't even talk about it on Jeff's show because we didn't know about it, which might be hand up bad producing.
I didn't know about it until I listened to it on your show
and
yesterday.
Then I didn't know about it until Cerrito was in on the Google Doc, and Cerrito puts like, what do we think about the fight? And I was like, what fight? I was wondering, like, is this like from something post game? Like, I had no idea what he was talking about. But like, it's so bad right now that they have that moment. I'm like, good. They're finally like showing some fight.
And they chose to do it on the road too, which is great, because I'm not sure if any of the local media were traveling for this one. So they can kind of.
I think none were.
They can avoid all the accountability.
This is that expense. You know full well, this is the expensive road trip, because it was like, I think it started in Sacramento. Then they went to Portland, then LA, Utah. Now they're back to OKC. But like that's like a, I don't know, that's a $5,000 trip if they're going to every single game with flights.
Boy, you'd get a lot of clicks though if you had the inside scoop from the locker room after the game.
Boy,
from that altercation, I had the Garrett Temple Omri Caspi altercation on my watch, and let's just say, Jeffrey, that was not the impetus for a stretch of good basketball to come. In fact, it was quite the opposite. That was when we knew.
Is that one that Chandler leaked to Shams?
Exactly what it was.
Good times.
And
good times,
because they had started that season out hot, and it was like, okay, well, we don't have Tony Allen anymore, we don't have Zach Randolph, but like, maybe this piecemeal roster with Mike Conley and Marc Gasol can still be something. And then that fight was just like the harbinger of how disastrously things were going to go from there on out. And I hope the Desmond Bane shove to Santi Aldama has the opposite effect that the legendary Garrett Temple Omri Caspi altercation had.
What was the origin of that one?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I mean, remember we were all standing outside the locker room,
and it took forever.
Yeah, I was still covering games. That was once upon a time.
It was like 45 minutes before they opened the locker room after the game, because they had to talk it out and you know get through the whole thing before they could open the doors in there. And you know, it was kind of hilarious. I don't remember for the life of me. I don't even know if they ever really said what it was about. But yeah, you had two strong personalities there. I just didn't know that Santi was like somebody who was even capable of saying something or doing something to warrant or elicit that sort of a reaction from a teammate. Like, I'm not saying it's like I hate it or whatever, but I'm just like, wow, Santi's the guy that instigated this?
So
that's fascinating.
He clued us in. I can't remember now if it's like 3 weeks ago. There was a Saturday night. Maybe it was after the Hawks loss. I think was the Hawks. They lost back to back. Like there's like a, that was the homestand right after the All-Star break where they beat the Suns at the buzzer. They lost to the Hawks. There was another bad loss in there.
Spurs.
Maybe it was after the Spurs game, because the Spurs game, I think, was first, right?
I'm double checking, so but that sounds
we got
right.
Yes, because it was a Saturday. The Spurs was like the second night of a back-to-back, and the Grizzlies sat everybody after playing everybody against the Suns and won, and they got beat. And Santi, after that game, basically called out the attitude of the team in which not giving much, I'm paraphrasing, but not giving much effort, we sit around and we wait for the fourth quarter and we think we're going to win and we leave it up to chance. So that was the first time I was like, oh, because the thing that was interesting about the video was yesterday we were trying to Zapruder film it, and shout out to our boy Randy Ballard, avid listener. He timestamped it. I think it's like 7 minutes left in the third quarter. It was off a fast break that the Jazz still kicked out of bounds. But it was I remember the play when Randy went and was truly amazing investigative work. And because when I first saw the video, I kind of thought it was like Dez calling people out, because I thought it might have been the first quarter when the defensive effort was just god awful. I mean, they were getting open three after open three after open three. But I don't know, like, I guess, like, I'm trying to kind of spin zone it in my head. It's like at least like someone showing some fight. But man, I just have no desire to invest tonight.
It feels hopeless, because the track record this season against quality opposition is so poor that there's just no reason to believe that they're going to go out here and take down the regular season's clear-cut best team in the NBA without Ja Morant. I mean, what's the money line right now for the Grizzlies? Because it would have to be
plus... I would bet some books aren't even letting you take it.
It'd have to be plus 1,500 for me to even sniff it. I mean, there's just... There's no scenario
plus
here,
right? Plus
380. Surely no, more than that. Because they're what, 10.5-point dogs?
Yep. I'm seeing plus 380 on ESPN.
So what are the Thunder then? Are they like minus 500?
Minus 550.
Okay, I mean, I would, I would feel a whole lot better laying down.
Are you cooking over there?
I am not.
Cook up a little Duke money line.
I am not. I'm gonna double check a different book, but
Duke money line.
Yep.
Paired with Thunder money line.
If only.
Like how many big faves do I have to? Let's see.
Now what's the over on BYU Bama?
Not enough, probably.
175.5.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing.
All right.
Even DraftKings has
no,
it.
No, Circa. So Circa is showing plus 425. DK is showing plus 380. Caesars plus 360. The consensus is plus 385 minus 520. I'm just saying we got to cook there. But you bring up a great point. So if there is a good night to get smoked, this is it, because I don't know how you felt. We talked about it early last week. Would the weekend be chalky? Like, that was a question that we had. And I think for the most part, the answer came back pretty affirmatively, yes. I hold the opinion that I'm actually kind of okay with it, because I actually think what happened in the tournament kind of matched with what my eyes watched this year, which was we clearly did not have 68 good teams. And what I think is now true, if you made it out of last weekend, you probably deserve to be here. Like, I felt like everyone that made it to the Sweet 16, with the exception of maybe, if you want to make the argument, Purdue, like, Purdue got to play High Point and McNeese clearly left it all on the floor just for Clemson, and they had no interest in game two. But almost everybody here had to beat somebody quality along the way and deserves to be here. And usually when you get that set up, like, I think we could be matched up for a really great weekend of basketball. Like, that's what I'm hoping for.
I'm hoping for that as well. There's a decent chance that Duke just pummels Arizona tonight.
Yeah.
That's the late game on CBS. Could totally see that. I hope Florida-Maryland is close, but there's a scenario in which Florida steamrolls Maryland, because at some point, all this Kevin Willard chatter has got to get to Maryland. I mean, Villanova is so clearly holding out for him as their primary target in their coaching search. They've been having to answer questions about it. Willard's been distracted by it. There's a lot of smoke already about some of these Maryland players and where they're going to go next season. There's got to be some impact on all that and the way they perform tonight.
So I want to discuss that with you, because I think that was, and granted, no two teams are the same. But it used to be, like, a gambling rule was, if you got tipped off that somebody was leaving, like, you just went and you faded that team. Like, who was it? When Freeze was leaving Liberty to go take the Auburn job, I think it was, like, right before New Mexico State, and the team found out, and, like, Liberty got beat, like, 55-10. Like, that used to be, like, a move. But I am kind of wondering now if, because now it used to be when coaches leaving, basically, like, they'd tell the staff, hey, we're going to wherever. We're going to Clemson. We're going to, you name it. We're going to Nova. But now it's almost like you tell the players and the coaches, like, we're going to Nova. Because that,
yeah, right.
Like, that's been hey, one of, you- like, that's, like, honestly, that is a way to avoid the year one, like, crash, but because you're going to be late in the portal, you're going to be late in recruiting, like, establishing a team. If you just bring a pretty good team with you, it sets a decently high floor, and we've seen this be a trend. Like, Dusty May, that's what they did with Dusty May. Like the last couple of cycles, that's what we've been seeing teams doing. And so, I almost wonder now, it's like, maybe they will, like, show up. Like, because, I don't know, McNeese kind of changed my opinion on this, where it's like,
yeah,
maybe it's not like it used to be, where when you have all the rumblings of coach leaving, because it used to be like, who's going to coach the team? Like, now it's like, well, either, like, Queen's obviously going to go to the NBA. Is Reese out of eligibility?
Surely, by now.
On year 34, of course, you could always just sue. Who knows? And maybe get another year. But, like, I would imagine most of the guys are like, if Willard's going, we're probably going there with him. So it's just like, well, like, one for all for one.
They're standing with him. They literally stood behind him and were basically, like, saying, Willard's our guy, give him what he needs. You know, in that wild post-game interview with Katz and Queen and Willard after the win against Colorado State, that was gold, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
So I think he's got the team in his corner. I'm not concerned about that. I'm just concerned about where is their collective focus? Because you got to be so dialed in to beat Florida. Like, Florida just got pushed. Florida had its bell rung. I think Florida's going to come here to play after the way they got pushed by UConn. Florida's got a lot of depth. We you know, talk about this crab five, and rightfully so, but, I mean,
well, it is. I mean, let's be clear. It's like one of the best nicknames of the decade.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like... Yeah, but it's just such an awesome nickname.
It is. But they don't have a bench. That's why we talk about the Crab Five.
No, it's true. There's
nobody else after them. So if this convoy of Florida bigs comes after Derek Queen and Julian Reese and gets them in foul trouble, this thing could get ugly. And so it's just like, where's your collective focus when you got this Villanova thing squirreling? As a player, yeah, you're standing with your coach. Like, I'm not saying they're not going to come out and play hard for Kevin Willard tonight. I just wonder how much of the collective attention of the Maryland basketball enterprise at the moment has actually been focused on Florida for the past 3 or 4 days.
I think I'm at the point now where if Willard's not going to Nova, one of the trends that's developed recently that I'm just kind of out on, whether it be owners with stadiums, like, we're just negotiating so much through the public now. And if he ends up staying at Maryland, and you're really going to be like, this was all just some leverage play, like, have at least some respect for, like, your fan base. To, like, I'm not saying, like, don't get the best deal possible, but, like, I don't know, man, like, this kind of sucks for Maryland. Like, they've been, like, it's a fan base that cares about basketball. This is their best team they've had in a very long time. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, if he's not leaving, it's just like, this is just kind of icky.
Well, it feels like it's all coming unglued. And I don't know how you put it back together at this point if you're Maryland, because your AD is gone, right? So,
well, but it seems like he pushed him out.
Well, he leaked the news, essentially. And so I think that's part of the frustration is like, wow, this university is so inept that they can't even keep... We're in the Big Ten, and we can't keep our athletic director from leaving and going to...
The ACC.
And a school that's been in the ACC for all of, what, 8 months?
A school that's literally not taking a dime from the ACC for like 10 years.
Right. And then you kind of got Loxley. I don't know if you saw Mike Loxley's comments, the Maryland football coach.
He's
throwing shade back at Willard about how
nobody peacocks after 6-6 like Mike Loxley.
Like, you know, I mean, if that guy can keep his job for as long as he has, like, Kevin Willard is surely not worried about his job security, but he's worried about having the resources he needs to put together a winning roster. And like I mentioned, you're already hearing all this smoke behind the scenes about where these Maryland guys are going to transfer next season. Because if you're, let's say, Jacoby Gillespie or whatever, you've established yourself as a stud high major point guard. I mean, come on, are you going to take whatever pennies on the dollar Maryland can muster, or are you going to go somewhere where you can actually get paid what you're worth? So I mean, it's like that. It seems like a Maryland institutional problem to me more than a Kevin Willard problem. I'm not saying that he's handled this perfectly, but I think there's a lot of dysfunction at Maryland that has led us to this point.
Austin Wells has hit a home run, so I'm happy that the Yankees. I can't believe the Yankees and Dodgers found their way to ESPN today, but. Shout out to opening day.
Well, we got to enjoy Major League Baseball on ESPN while we got it, I guess.
So there's some people out there that think this is also a negotiating ploy, which also like goes to the same thing we're talking about. Like ESPN wasn't going to pay $500 million, but ESPN might pay $200 million for the chopped up version.
I'm of the opinion now. If you want to watch baseball, you'll find it where you know, you'll find it, right?
Well,
you want to watch
hockey, I'm glad you bring that up because this was a frustration that I have. So I am back with DirecTV and like reunited, and it feels amazing. Love it. Cannot be happy.
But hold on. I got to know the story. What happened? Did you cut down some trees or like what's the deal?
No, I literally called. So it was one of the Saturdays. It was like a Saturday where like. I just wound up watching like college basketball all day, and the like just multiple streams went out, and like I was a broken man. Like I just had it, and I was like, done. I called up DirecTV and I was like, listen, I tried to have this installed back in October. I need you to send me your best technician because I'm not taking a no for answers. Like I want to hand you money. I don't want to be a DirecTV stream subscriber. It doesn't work. Like I want a remote with buttons on it. I want to be back in the game. And lo and behold, shout out my DirecTV tech, Brian, avid listener, got it hooked up. And
did he come out with a chainsaw? And then when you opened the door, he was like, oh, I thought you were going to be 75 years old. I've never had such a young person want satellite so bad.
He had a great line. He's like, listen, because I was like, I was under the impression the previous tech was just not exactly what I would deem to be a motivated hard worker. And so he's going around the house like with the device that tries to get the look at the southern sky. And he's like, I got to tell you, I don't think he was lazy. Like, he's like, you got some problems. But then he looked at me and he goes, are you a married man? I go, yes, sir, I am. He's like, the only solution, I don't know if she's going to like. We have a deck like off the like next to our like it's in between our driveway and the side of the house, and he's got it like hooked up like on a makeshift pole that he just dug into the ground, raised it up, and it's just hanging right off our deck.
So, what's the HOA think about this?
Fortunately, like when you live in the city limits, there's not really an HOA. Let me phrase it: the places I can afford in the city, there's no HOA. So I call up Aaliyah and I was like, all right, I think he can do it, but it's going to be on the deck. Are you okay with this? And she gave, in fairness, an honest answer, which I think I've now like just beaten it into her. It's like, I played sports. You can be on it. Like, you don't have to. You can just say things if you want to. Like, I can handle it. She's like, I mean, what does it matter? You're going to do it anyway. She's like, you've been like biting your fingernails. Like, you're going to make this happen. And fairness, she was right. Like that's exactly what it is. So we have DirecTV back, but one of the issues is when the Grizzlies play, even though the Cardinals are our in-market team, for whatever reason, I've noticed it's days in which the Grizzlies play and the Cardinals play. You can't watch it on DirecTV, but you can fire up the trusty, handy dandy FanDuel Sports Network app and watch that way. So I've got to figure out if that problem's been solved. So I'm hopeful that I can watch the Cardinals on opening day.
It's tough because you got to multi-factor authenticate. You got to get the login. You got to use.
It's like breaking into Fort Knox.
It's never been tougher to watch sports now, but at the same time, like I'm not worried about the health of Major League Baseball because ESPN might not re-up their deal. Like, there's a lot of factors that like make you worried about the future of MLB. To me, that's not one of them, because if you want to find it, like, you will find it. I just don't think that all these casual fans are just going to be like, oh, well, baseball's on ESPN, I guess I'll turn that on tonight. Like, I don't think that like that marketplace is as solid as it used to be. Like, the casual fan just stopping his channel surfing because, well, it's ESPN, we'll just stop it here, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. I also think that, like, they've kind of decided that their business model doesn't really dictate being a national sport. Like, it seems like every team is, like, just kind of worried about being a regional product. And so you have that. I guess my only argument to that is, like, I don't think it would hurt being part of the national conversation.
Baseball's been fading in that sense, though, for forever. I mean, I've been doing this show with you for several months now. We've spent very little time talking about baseball. I like baseball. I'll watch baseball. I play fantasy baseball. It's, for me, it's actually second after the NBA in terms of professional sports leagues that I consume. It's NBA, pretty big gap, then MLB, then NFL, and then, you know, whatever else. Maybe I'll watch Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. You know?
I like the hockey playoffs. I just don't have a team. I do think the playoffs are, like, good watches.
I got real into that, that Nations Cup.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you put our patriotism on the line, like, we're obviously always going to care. All right, this is the other thing that I wanted to discuss with you, because as we get back to the tournament, I think one of the things that I find fascinating is, like, you mentioned Florida. I weirdly came away impressed that they beat UConn, because having watched a lot of UConn this year, I think given the level of opponent, that was the best game that they had played all year. And
UConn brought his A+, man. They brought it.
They had Florida just mentally out of sorts. Like, they looked lost. And the reason why I came away impressed with Florida is, like, man, it's exactly what you said. It's like, they have so many ways that they can beat you. It was just Clayton off the bounce, like, hitting big shots. And there was just, like, nothing that you could do. But weirdly, though, I didn't feel the same way about Auburn. And, like, to me, Auburn's final score against Creighton was, to me, one of the more misleading scores of the tournament. Like, I felt like that game was, like, I kind of thought when Auburn got to the tournament, hey, they had the SEC wrapped up, like, they didn't have anything to play for, and they were just trying to get to the tournament. They've had good stretches in the tournament, but I still haven't felt like that's the team that, because, like, that's who I have winning my bracket. Not that anyone cares, but, like, and also I kind of picked them just because I assumed everybody was picking Duke or Florida. But I think the biggest takeaway that I had from weekend one is, man, this thing feels like right now it's Duke's to lose.
I'd agree with that. I think Auburn is in search of the gas pedal.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
Late in the regular season, they clinched the SEC outright. Pretty early,
it was
like
before
with a couple of games.
It was before the A&M game, so they had two full weeks.
Right, so they've accomplished what they set out to accomplish at that point. Not only had they won the SEC outright, they had also secured the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament at that point. Their resume was impenetrable, so they were going to be number one overall. What else do you have to play for at that point? And so I think Bruce Pearl is a master motivator more so than a master tactician, although I will say he's gotten better schematically over the years. But now, I mean, it's going to take, I think, a really impressive locker room speech or something for Bruce Pearl to find that fire and light that fire underneath his team again, because they've just lost a little bit of their edge here at a time when the competition is now better than it's ever been. And I'll say this, because in the one number one seed that you didn't mention in that conversation,
Houston,
man, like, we are sleeping as a college basketball collective right now on the fact that these guys have not lost more than one game. They've lost once since November. Three of their four losses this season came in overtime. And the only reason that when the bracket came out on Selection Sunday that I picked Tennessee to win that region is because I wasn't sure about Jawan Roberts' ankle. He's the heart and soul of their team. He's their big guy underneath who's been there, what, 5-6 years now?
I mean, 13, I don't know. Feels like it.
And so for the last couple of years, the Achilles heel for Houston has been injuries, specifically last year with Jamal Shedd in the NCAA tournament. Well, now they've got a fully healthy team that shoots the ball better from the outside than any team Kelvin Sampson has had. And so I'm looking at them. I think they're going to smoke Purdue. And then I think it's going to take just a Herculean effort from either Tennessee or Kentucky to beat Houston. So I kind of like Houston a lot right now. I don't know where they're at on the national championship odd sheet, but if you can get them plus 700 or something, ooh, I'd be really interested in that.
Yeah, I'm with you on Houston, because also in the same vein that even though the final score, like, I thought Houston was the opposite of Auburn, where their final score felt like about as low as it could have been against Gonzaga. And If you would have told me coming into that game Gonzaga was going to score 76 points on Houston, I would have been like, dang. Like, I'm not saying they would have certainly won, but I would have thought it would have been a game. Whereas, I don't know, I just felt like watching that entire game,
they dominated it for 35
minutes.
Yeah,
like, they just had them at arm's length. Like, it really, the fact that the final score got to be what it was a couple of bad turnovers in, like, the last 90 seconds against the press. And I felt like they tried to take the air out a couple of minutes too soon. But, like, in the end, they won the game. So, like, I don't think Kelvin cared. I think at the end of the day, I think he was just trying to win by a point. But, like, I thought Gonzaga offensively played about as well as you could expect. And they just never felt like they were in it. And then kind of the other reason that I'm not saying that I disagree with your Houston point, I just, and I know you got to guard your heart and your family well-being, I just can't quit this Tennessee team. If Zakai Ziegler is going to keep playing like he's playing, and it just feels like he's like in complete control, and Chaz is going to keep shooting the ball like he is, man, I just think that's going to be a heck of a basketball game if we can get there.
I like Tennessee against Kentucky. Don't love Tennessee against Houston. When we did our bracket reset this week for CBS Sports, I stuck with my original pick because my Final Four is still intact. It could all play out the way I originally picked it. So if you held my feet to the fire, Houston or Tennessee, I'd say Houston wins that game. I stuck with it, though, like, for my official picks, because, like, when you reach the second weekend and you still have your bracket in place, like, I feel like you got to double down on it, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Whatever conviction that led you to that place in the first place, like, if it's still available to you, you kind of got to stick with your original pick.
Or what you can do is you can just start betting the other side, and that way you could win one or the other. All right.
Emotional hedge.
There you go. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk some Grizzlies. Let's do it with Eric Hasseltine next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. That music means we welcome to the program the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer, pregame tonight, right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN, from 6:30 till 7. Tip-off with Eric at 7 p.m. Eric, can you confirm when the Dez Santi shove occurred? Which, by the way, we're all,
I didn't see it till after.
We are all so okay. So we're not the, like that's the thing. I did not. I watched the whole game, and I watched with Pete and Brev and Fish. There was no reference to it on the broadcast. We never saw it. Like, whatnot. We got through Jeff's show and did not even know about it. I didn't figure out about it till in between shows. So, like, I feel like that was something that just went completely under the radar.
It did, and to be honest and fair, by choice. I did not know about it during the game. I found out about it after the game. And then, like you said, like, all of a sudden we spent the night in Salt Lake City. We're in Salt Lake City, and my phone starts going bananas. And I'm like, do you people not realize I'm an hour behind you? Stop texting me at, like, 8 o'clock in the morning. But it was fine. I was already up. And
sounds like,
yeah,
it.
Look, I was, you know, Salt Lake City, brother. Like, what are we going to do? We kind of found a place to hang out. Everybody,
I have seen that Salt Lake City has been taking out a lot of Google ad space, because, like, you'll see, like, now they are advocating, like, we have whiskey bars, like, we have alcohol.
Well, they did in the hotel. They certainly did at the hotel, and it was really kind of fun to be, like, basically all of us up there together and, you know, just kind of breathe a sigh of relief. So Rob told me about it, you know, that night, and you know, I don't want to speak for him, but I think they wisely just left it at that. And you've been around enough sports in your life where, man, these things happen. And I personally, when I found out about it, I said, good.
We all did. You know? I think collectively everyone
great.
Did. Yes.
Yeah. And so, but you know, you get people around. And so, of course, the next day when it does break, I read some of the comments and you get, you know, people guessing as to what it was. And you know, I don't want to speculate. I don't want to say what was said. That was between them. But most of the speculation on like what was said, like I'm not getting the ball or whatever, that was not it. So it did have to do with on the court stuff, and basically it was a challenge to be better. And you know, tonight actually I'm doing the whole show because Gary's got Ole Miss baseball duty with the Rebels being in a Sweet 16. So I grabbed Brevin Knight for our little crosstalk thing, so it wasn't just me talking for 2 hours or 3 hours incessantly.
Do you miss it?
No, not one time. I mean, do I miss doing pre-half and post? It was fun. I've always liked calling the games. That was the ultimate goal. But I don't. The year I had to do it, like for most of the year by my, in fact, almost all the year by myself. No, I don't miss that at all. It was a long year. But you know, I asked him about that in our chat, and he basically said, I was all for it. And we've been talking about a lot of Brewers just went yard to go 2-1. There we go. Opening day, baby. We were talking about how these things happen. And you played football and baseball at MUS, and you know, you've been around the game. I played sports all through high school and then played a little college lacrosse. And you know, you had guys just get in each other's face, whether it was in practice or in a game and somebody missed an assignment and emotions are running high. I feel like if you're not doing that, the competitive fire isn't burning. And, you know, I've heard players ask, you know, veterans like, hey, what would have happened on your team? And, you know, like, let's say you ask Elliot Perry, like, what would happen if you had guys in Phoenix that weren't, you know, that were getting in the wrong spot? He'd say, well, basically Charles Barkley would take you in the back and say, if you don't shape up, I'm going to kick your ass. So
effective.
Who wants that? I wouldn't want that. And so, you know, you go back to the core 4 days, and I remember guys kind of getting either mouthy or overconfident, and boy, Zach and Tony and Mark were going to snap them back in the line. Not so much Mike, but even after that, other guys that were going to say, hey, that's not how we do it. And Mike would do it in a different way, but those guys had the locker room. And I think one of the things with having a young team, the reason we talk about so much about learning how to win, and whether people want to acknowledge this or not, it's still a young basketball team, really young, comparatively to teams that go make deep playoff runs. Now, they've been together for a handful of years, but they've also battled injuries, and you know, key guys have been out at different stretches. But you know, you don't have that veteran that you know you walk in and go, okay, that's the guy, and you know who the star players are. And now it's time for them at this stage of their career, years five, years you know four, years six, whatever it may be, when now you're 25 years old, that you step up and you're not the kid anymore. You're the guy. You're not the young fella. You're the leader. You're not the rookie budding star. You are the star. And there's no debating it. And that's, you know, what you got to do. And Dez is on that level. And if Dez doesn't have that locker room, then to me, that's a problem, because everybody in that locker room should show him the respect he's earned. And as long, you know, there's two different ways. And we've also, you and I both probably had teammates like that. I know I have, I'm sure you have, and everybody has, where you got one guy that thinks he's more than he is and just keeps popping off. And finally you're just like, dude, enough's enough, you know, like stop. But when it's one
fairness,
guy,
it might've like, been me.
What's that?
Might've been me.
No, that's fine. I mean, I remember like we knew who our guy was in our lacrosse huddle. When he spoke, you listen. If you didn't listen, you were going to get called out. And there was a guy that didn't listen, and he got called out. And, you know, he didn't like it very much, but when he tried to get sympathy from other people, we're like, he's not wrong. Like, you're acting like a jackweed, as we said. You know, stop. Like, be part of the team. Don't be part of yourself. And so it was good. I mean, it's a good thing. You need it going into tonight. There's no doubt about it. And you need to be better than you've been defensively over the last, you know, month and a half. And anybody that disagrees with that just isn't paying attention. And it was happening again. They were not playing particularly passionate basketball. They were getting flustered. And sometimes you need that spark. And with good teams, there's always something. You know, go back to the year Denver wins it. There was a stretch there where people were like, well, do they really have it? you know, this is a rare year where you just look and you go, okay, Oklahoma City is every bit of all that and more. You can even go back to the year the Warriors broke the record. They didn't go to the finals. They didn't win the finals. Or they went to the finals. They didn't win it. They didn't win the finals, and they set the NBA record for wins. Because during that time, they were all listening, and then it got to be almost too much, if you catch my drift. If you remember that frustration that was settling in there. Go back to that year that Toronto wins the title. And I remember vividly saying in the offseason, nobody's looking at Toronto and that's a mistake in the East. Because not only did you swap DeMar DeRozan basically for Kawhi Leonard, which I think you got the better all-around player if you're the Raptors, but you also swapped Jakob Poeltl for Danny Green. And you can replace Jakob Poeltl being your backup center. Now, he's a solid starting center for, you know, teams that aren't playoff teams, but you can get a guy to do that. You cannot bring what Danny Green brings to the table just off the streets. Defensive prowess, leadership, guy who's been there, guy who almost wasn't there and had to be put in check, so understands it. But he walks in with a handful of jewelry, and if you don't respect that, then you're an idiot, and you don't belong in the league anyway. And sure enough, it was exactly what they needed. They went and made another move, get Marc Gasol, and, you know, the rest, as they say, is history. Now, obviously, it's easy for me to point out when I was right, because there are plenty of times I've been wrong. But that one seems so glaring to me, to go get a guy like that, have veteran leadership, you know, with Kyle Lowry back at that time, than the teams that don't. And I think that's one of the reasons why people still have some questions about this Oklahoma City team, because none of them have truly been there. Literally, none of them have ever just gone and, you know, been NBA finals participants. And, you know, Isaiah Hartenstein's brought in, and he's been in part of playoff teams, and the Thunder obviously made the playoffs last year, but most of these guys do not have that experience of a deep run and what it takes. Now, they're awesome, and we'll find that out tonight, and, you know, see where they are, where the Grizzlies fall tonight after the nice win. But it matters. It's why people keep pointing back to teams like the Lakers and Nuggets and saying, don't write them off. It's why no one really talks about the Rockets or the Grizzlies, because neither one of those teams have made the run, and they don't have the same record as the Thunder. So, and the same thing in the East. You talk about the Bucks because you have Giannis, and they've won a championship. And people talk about the Knicks, and they're like, eh, you know, they can't get by the better teams. Boston obviously wins it last year. But who on Cleveland has made a run to the NBA Finals? That's a significant, you know, valuable contributor. Not many. That's why people have their doubts. Will they be able to make that move? So there's always a changing of the guard, long story short. And, you know, the one thing that's common is with good teams, you have leaders who step up and have moments like the Grizzlies had the other night that's now obviously circulated social media. And when you're good, you know what happens with that? It just gets, all right, it was just part of it. It was just part of it. I mean, we had a player kick in an elevator door after a shoot-around, because Zach Randolph just basically said, you're not going to do that here. Kicked the elevator door in the lobby of the FedEx Forum, and we had a game that night. Turns out that elevator was no longer operational, and then turns out later that player was no longer with the team. So,
funny how it works that way.
Yeah, funny how it works that way. It costs the team a lot of money in elevator repairs.
I'm old enough to remember the Garrett Temple Omri Caspi altercation. So you know what? These things happen, right? You're right, Eric, but you talk about changing of the guard and sort of by necessity, unfortunate circumstance with Brandon Clark, but there's been a changing of the guard in the hierarchy at the five man for these Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. Sort of how do you see this playing out? Because it seems like, hey, next man up, Jay Huff. You think he playing, logging, soaping up some of those minutes, is that a long-term sort of play there for the Grizzlies, or do you think Taylor and this staff will kind of pare down that five man in those minutes and kind of give Jaren more of those reps?
Well, you're going to have to pare it down anyway as playoffs come, because you got longer breaks, you got, you know, days off, you're not playing back-to-back games, you're going to get time to get rest, it's going to be more physical. Here's what I love about Jay. He's always ready to go. He can stretch the floor. He obviously was 1 of 6 from three, but overall on the season, he's not shooting over 40% because he just makes a couple here or there. He can make those shots. He's not afraid to put the ball on the floor. Now, by no means is anybody going to confuse the Utah Jazz defense for the Bad Boy Pistons. They're not exactly the best at protecting the rim, but they do have Walker Kessler, and who can block some shots, and they do have some size with Kyle Filipowski. So I think it's an interesting time, because you saw that they didn't start Zach Edey. And I do think that with all the kind of shuffling of the players, and there's been some critique of the coaching staff for this, like, hey, you got to have your roster, your lineup set. They're trying to figure out who can work well together still, because you still have guys being shuffled in and out and whatever. All the experts with the computer are going to say this or that, and that's fine. That's part of being a fan. But in the end, you know, they're studying this stuff incessantly, and they're obviously seeing something where they want Zach to improve. Now, to me, I thought he looked fantastic in the game against Utah. He struggles with teams that can really get up and down the floor and have athletic long bigs, i.e. teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers. Jared Allen can run the floor. He can step out. But offensively, he's not going to step out and shoot the ball, so that helps a little bit. I think where when you have Zach out there, where you have to watch is what happens in the high pick and roll. How do you play that? Do you not switch? Do you fight through the screen? Do you try to go under the screen? The Grizzlies are quite simply just giving up too many open threes. So what does Jay Huff bring instead of that if you move him into that mix? He's a little bit more athletic. I know he won the G League Defensive Player of the Year, and that's fantastic. It's a whole different thing, and I just don't put a ton into that. It obviously shows you will play defense and you're capable of playing defense, and obviously at that level you were the best defender in your league. But it's a different level of talent coming at you. But Jay's shown he'll protect the rim. Santi has to be better defensively, and I think that was, you know, that was shown in the last couple of weeks, and maybe that, who knows, maybe that's what Des was talking about, probably, because they were giving up a lot of open looks. And he brings something to the table. Can you move Jaren in there and play him with Santi? Sure. Can you move Jaren in there and play him with, you know, a Lamar Stevens for a few minutes? Sure. You also don't want to burn your best player down and you know, what Ja Morant's status is come playoff time, whether, you know, you're in the top six, whether you're in the play-in tournament. A lot has to be determined between now and, you know, a couple weeks from Sunday. So, I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing some mismatch lineups. You're like, you're trying to figure this out, like what's going to happen down the road. Now you're in a tight race, and maybe one night that you feel like you're pretty good and you're going to give him another night off, you let Jaren go with heavy minutes at the five and see who fits with him at the four. But you know, we all know that come this time of year, you need your stars to be stars. So whatever's going to bring the best out in Jaren is how I would go, whether that's playing the four and, you know, roaming around behind, you know, with Zach Edey behind him, then go with it. If it's playing the five and bringing in Santi, bringing in Jay, bringing in whoever to play the four, whether you want to go small or whatnot, go with it. You know, it's figure it out and try to do it in such a manner that you're getting the data without compromising the game, if that makes sense.
How are the Grizzlies going to shock the world tonight?
Well, first off, you have to force them to turn the ball over.
I thought you were going to stop them from entering the arena.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I could do that. I mean, I'm looking right at the arena right now. It's a beautiful day, and here's a shock in Oklahoma City. It's a little windy today, but
no way.
It is beautiful. A little windy on the walk over to one of my favorite lunch spots in the league.
Which is?
It's called City Bites. It's just this tiny little sandwich shop that's in what used to be, like, I thought it was the Bank of America building. It had a Bank of America in it.
Bank of Oklahoma. It was like Bach, whatever.
No. That's to the left.
Oh, okay.
This is different. This is down towards the Haunted Hotel. We no longer stay at the Skirvin. But it was right there. And it's just, they just make a, I get the same thing every time. It's just called a beef eater. It's like a roast beef sandwich, but the way they cook it, and then they put potatoes and sour cream on it, it's just phenomenal. Like, I look forward to it every time. So well worth the walk, to say the least. But they don't turn it over a lot. And, you know, they take really good care of the basketball. They capitalize on your mistakes. Defensively, they're phenomenal. So you cannot get caught with this team trying to set a screen and beat them with dribble penetration, because they switch everything. They're on a string defensively, as coaches say. They just are so cohesive. The way to beat cohesion on defense is extra passing, is ball movement, is quick ball movement. You have to be the aggressor and, you know, more instinctual than reactionary. If you're reacting to what they do on a switch, you're dead, because they just, those athletes and the physicality, and you look at, you know, Cason Wallace and Lue Dort, who are built like fire hydrants and just come right up into your space. And you know, when SGA gets you on an angle and you know, gets you, as Brevin puts, gets you in working that angle to where he's by you, you're not getting back into it. The problem is you try to recover and then you send him to the foul line. So ball security, ball movement, defending without fouling. Do not put these guys on the line 30 times tonight. They're one of the best free throw shooting teams I've seen in a very, very long time. And, you know, don't let a run get you down. It's going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. This city, to be quite honest with you, other than the, you know, handful of years they took to build this, has been spoiled. I mean, they had a high-level team move in here. They had the years with Kevin Durant. They rebuilt it. The fans stuck around, and now they've got another super high-level team. And you know, they're it, man. We're walking around today, and there's nothing but Oklahoma City shirt, you know, Thunder shirts and billboards and everything else, you know, bragging about clinching the one seed. I don't know a lot of NBA cities that do that other than cities that are just diehard into their squad. So it's going to be a tough environment. They've beaten you three times already, all by double figures. So push the pace, take care of the ball, and see if you can't put them on their heels a little bit. When they make a run and the crowd gets into it, buckle down and stay to what you do. Don't try to get out of that.
Eric, we really appreciate it. Good luck, my man.
Appreciate you guys. I'll talk to you. You know what? I might not talk to you next Thursday because that game is in Miami, and if you think I am going to be talking to you...
Oh, no, you'll be playing golf.
No, I will not. Not at that time. I'll have plenty of time. It'll be 3 o'clock.
Sure.
No, I don't know. Probably more of a pool day in South Florida that day. We'll find out.
We feel so bad for you.
I know. It's a tough life. It's a very tough life. Although I am ready to get home. We've been gone 12 days. I don't even know if I'm going to remember how to get home tonight.
There you go. All right. We wish you well, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
That is Eric Hasseltine of the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network. I have breaking news for you, Cobb. George is probably experiencing this. I'm seeing reports that MLB TV is down. Opening day.
I've got it. My group chat is lit up with it. Yep.
God. I have also seen these reports. I don't have to worry about it till tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So, oh, yeah. You're